yeah, I'm really excited to be talking to Lieutenant Colonel Maurice Hirsch because there is lots going on in Israel. So let's do the Israel report. Lieutenant Colonel Maurice Hirsch, thanks for being with me on Chai FM.
Always a pleasure, Simon. How are you doing?
I am doing well, although honestly, I'm concerned. I'm concerned with where we are in the world. I never saw this coming. I want to read you a headline from an editorial in the Times of Israel today. Trump's deal is catastrophic. This is an op-ed by David Horowitz. He said, it's a catastrophic capitulation to Iran's aggressors, leaves Israel vulnerable and constrained. What's your take on that?
So I think it's a little bit early to start analyzing the deal before we even really know what it contains. I think obviously all of the reports that are coming out don't indicate that it is such a great deal for Israel, and there possibly is not a small amount of reason to be concerned. But I think it's still early to maybe jump the gun and get involved and say, well, we know what's going on and this is what it is. And before anyone really does know what's actually happening. And that's something which obviously we need to be much more
cognizant about. You know, I was thinking about that on the way to the office this afternoon. I was thinking, you know, what could change it? Could perhaps, you know, obligatory joining of the Abraham Accords by all signatories alter the situation? Could a undertaking to disarm Hezbollah change the situation? There's lots that could happen, the detail of which we haven't seen. But without that detail being part of this agreement, it does seem as if Israel's strategic position has been weakened significantly.
So I think that we should possibly not be so quick to conclude that this is only good for the Iranians and not good for America. Donald Trump needs, President Trump needs a win in Iran and in these subjects no less than Israel does, and that's something that we have to take into consideration as well. It would be, I think, a mistake to say that President Trump can.
I'm sorry. I'm interrupting you. I'm just trying to understand. On what basis do you think there's any way to claim he's got a win? I mean, he stopped and capitulated for oil prices, didn't he?
Well, I think you have to look at what exactly is he looking at for a win. I don't think President Trump wants to go into the midterm elections with an energy crisis on his hands, yeah, with high gas prices. Yeah. That's something which the American public doesn't want and won't tolerate. And so what is the win for President Trump? Any type of situation in which he can go into the midterm elections without that losing card of high energy prices. Do the Americans actually care about what goes on in Iran? Absolutely not. Do they care about the freedom of the Iranian people? Most of the Americans don't even know where Iran is on the map.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Let alone care what's going on there.
All right. So we wait and we see.
I would not be so quick to assume that President Trump was willing to give up on all of that just to appease Iran. I think that would be an erroneous assumption.
I was just looking at what's happening in Lebanon today. I think news coming out of Israel just a couple of hours ago about another drone attack and some awful injuries to several Israeli soldiers, one seriously so. But meanwhile, the bombing continues in southern Lebanon. The drone attacks by Hezbollah continues. And yet Iran making this direct linkage between Hezbollah and the ceasefire and wanting to limit Israel's area of operations in Lebanon. How do you see the Lebanese front rolling out?
So I think that what we're going to see on the Lebanese front is a continuation of these of the hostilities. I don't think that there is any possibility whatsoever of there being any type of really ceasefire on the Lebanese front. That's not something which is on the cards, and not something which I think anyone is going to agree to or accept. So I think on that level, we're looking to see to what extent can this damage be mitigated, if at all, and to what extent can we really be in a situation where Hezbollah is still paying the price for the aggression, and is paying a clear price for the aggression that they've engaged in. That's something which we have to learn how to do properly, and to ensure that that message goes wide and clear, despite any type of alternative situation that may be considered by Iran. That's something which going forward is going to be part of the biggest challenge.
Yeah, fascinating. I hear exactly what you're saying about wait and see. There's a lot that needs to be released and discussed. It is interesting, though, that at least from Bibi's perspective, this is a negative turn of events. Apparently, election posters showing him shaking hands with Trump and touting their strong relationship. Likud was ready to put them up all over Israel. Apparently, they've been binned, so they are saying.
So again, is this something which is the right course of action to go on? I don't think anyone can really question the nature of the relationship with President Trump. I think if you take into account that what has been done, let's see the half full cup rather than the half empty cup of what's been done in Iran, decimating much of their military capabilities, pushing back their nuclear drive by years and years and years. No matter what you think of the deal or how it may play out, these are still very, very tangible and very, very strong bonuses that we have taken out of this war. And that's something which we shouldn't lose sight of.
Maybe you're just an optimist and I'm a pessimist. And I'm thinking about a quote from a highly placed Israeli official yesterday who said, "We would never have embarked on this campaign had we known the political ramifications."
I don't think that is true in any way, shape, or form. It's simply not true. If we were offered the opportunity to eliminate Iran's military capabilities without any type of recognizable response from the Iranians, which Israeli leader would have said no?
All right, but we found ourselves in a position where every single proxy has been emboldened. Every single proxy knows that America won't deliver on its promise, at least won't fight. We know that the Western world won't fight. I'm facing Israel alone, an isolated Israel. I'm feeling very confident if I'm an Iranian proxy right now.
So you're right. There are, without question, not a small amount of difficulties within these agreements and within these arrangements, but again, I would not say that Hezbollah, even if it is emboldened, what exactly does that mean?
No, fair enough.
Hezbollah has taken really phenomenal hits in the last 2-3 years. Pushing them back as well. Let's not forget, we've taken out every single part of their senior leadership. Thousands and thousands of their terrorists have been eliminated. What we're doing now in southern Lebanon, destroying years and hundreds of millions of dollars of investment in terror infrastructure. This is not an emboldened Hezbollah. This is a very, very much weakened Hezbollah that's trying simply to Iran to present the bravado of look how strong we are. Iran was decimated.
I want to move on to a different story, one that we haven't been speaking about at all for the past couple of days, and yet it's been on every newspaper front page. And this is the story of Tali Gottlieb and immunity for exposing a Shin Bet officer's identity. If you wouldn't mind just giving me a little bit of background to the story and how we landed where we are.
Okay, so where we are is like this. During the campaign against the judicial reform at the beginning of 2023, there was a very, very dominant campaign leader named Shikmat Bresler. Mm-hmm. She was leading a part of the leadership of that anti-reform campaign. And it turned out that her husband was a member of the Shin Bet. And so Tali Gottlieb exposed that and claimed that made all types of claims about his interactions with Sinwar, with Hamas, for whatever reasons it may be, and made all types of claims about that relationship between her husband, a senior member in the Shin Bet, and Shikmat Bresler. There is a law in Israel which says that exposing the name of a Shin Bet member is a criminal offense. But now the question is, what happens when that is done by a member of Knesset who has both functional and positional immunity that is required for carrying out their elected status duties? So was this something which was part of a personal campaign? No. Was it part of what Tali Gottlieb perceived to be part of the very, very public and very, very strong and robust political discussions that were going on at the time? That's what she's claiming. So now the Attorney General, who is very much in favor of Shikmat Bresler and very much opposed to the judicial review and is trying to literally overthrow the government from within, has decided to indict Tali Gottlieb and is now asking the Knesset or to revoke her immunity in order to prosecute her. And that's the discussion that's going on in the Knesset, in the news, and all around. It's really the opponents of the judicial reform using this whole process to attack the proponents of the judicial reform, with all of the different players taking their traditional positions, including, unfortunately, the Attorney General not taking the side of the government and not taking the side of the rule of law, but taking the side of those that were promoting judicial reform.
We're going to leave it there. That was so unbelievably interesting. Thank you for your input this afternoon. Interesting that we both land on very different sides of the Iran issue, but I guess time will tell. I hope you're right, and I hope I'm wrong. Maurice Hirsch, as always, thank you so much for being with me.